A new bill in the state legislature aims to standardize employment laws across Wisconsin. It's a Republican-backed bill that would, among other things, prohibit municipalities from creating their own laws on employment discrimination. Supporters say passing the bill will make employment rules consistent around the state. Opponents say it would eliminate protected classes and that cities should be able to decide how they protect their residents and the workforce. Paul Secunda is professor of law and director of Marquette University's Labor and Employment Law Program. He joins us to take a closer look at what the bill could mean. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
I understand that this bill has a lot of parts to it. Can you give us the big picture of what would change if this were passed as written?
Sure. What the listeners have to understand is that when it comes to workplace employment discrimination law, it can actually be regulated on three different levels of government: the federal, state, and local. So many people are aware of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, a federal agency that implements it. That is a law that deals with protected classifications like race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. There's also other federal laws that deal with disability discrimination and age discrimination. Wisconsin has another law, in addition to Title VII, called the Wisconsin Fair Employment Act, which adds on some additional protected classifications: arrest and conviction record, creed, honesty testing, marital status, military service, sexual orientation, which importantly is not covered under federal law. And then on top of that, there are some municipalities, usually the more liberal progressive municipalities like Madison, which also add some additional protected classes. So for instance, in Madison, they also have gender identity in addition to sexual orientation. They have non-religion or atheism in addition to religion, homelessness, source of income, lack of a social security number, student status, which of course is a big deal in Madison. So as you can tell, as you go get closer and closer to the local level, you get more and more protected classes when it comes to workplace discrimination. So that's the big picture as far as how workplace discrimination law works in our country.
And do a lot of local governments in Wisconsin have maybe not as long a list as Madison's, but some additional protections beyond what the federal and state governments do?
Not many. Madison and Milwaukee, not surprisingly, are the two best examples. And of course, they are our two biggest cities. So I would say the larger the city, the more likely that city is going to have its own agency. For instance, Madison has the Department of Civil Rights, which institutes its law. And those are the people actually, in particular, the head of the department, Norman Davis, is vehemently opposed to this legislation. And that's for a number of reasons.
And the state law would do away with that, right? It would say local governments, cities in particular, I guess, you can't add additional protections beyond what the state and feds are already doing. Is that right?
That is correct, and it is consistent, it should be pointed out, with other laws that this Assembly, Senate, Governor have passed, which have taken away the power traditionally available to municipalities, not just employment discrimination law, which this act would deal with, but also the ability to take paid sick leave, also to raise the minimum wage. In fact, a lot of people think that really what's pushing this is the preference of the Republicans in Wisconsin state government not to give municipalities like Madison and Milwaukee the ability to raise the minimum wage to a higher rate beyond what the state or federal level is.
And one of the arguments here is that it makes things more consistent for businesses. So say if you own a fast food franchise or other chain of some sort, you've got one operation in, say, Madison and one, mm-hmm. One county over, you're dealing with two different sets of HR guidelines, this would make life easier for those business owners.
Well, I think the argument goes both ways, Rob. I think on the one hand, you could argue that, in fact, why we need different laws for different municipalities is different municipalities have different issues. Obviously, Madison has a student population, unlike most other places in the state. That's why student status is protected. Homelessness is a big issue in Milwaukee and in Madison. It allows the law to be more specific to the region in which it is located. Also, I would say to you that this is a double-edged sword. When they talk about employment standardization, remember now we have a conservative Republican government, assembly, state senate, governor. Keep in mind that if in the future the governor becomes Democratic, and as we saw yesterday, a state senate seat you just covered went Democratic, we could see standardization being more uniform, but more uniform in protecting more categories. So I think the Republicans here have to be careful what they wish, because rather than it just going kind of piecemeal, municipality or locality, one at a time, in the future, regardless of whether it's a conservative government or a more progressive government, these changes will take place on a statewide level.
Paul Secunda is with us, director of Marquette University's Labor and Employment Law Program. He's talking to us about a bill in the state legislature that would standardize employment rules in Wisconsin. It would stop local governments from creating their own employment discrimination laws above and beyond what the state and federal government already do. What do you think about this? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Should cities and other local governments be allowed to create their own employment discrimination laws to protect categories not protected by state or federal law? Or should Wisconsin have the same employment rules everywhere in the state? Are you worried about the elimination of protected statuses like gender identity, non-religion, and more in communities that protect those? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Paul Secunda is with us from Marquette University. He directs the Labor and Employment Law Program there. We're looking at a bill in Wisconsin's state legislature that would make uniform employment rules in the state on issues like employment discrimination. So it would stop cities, a few of which do this now, stop cities from making their own employment discrimination laws above and beyond what the state does. You can join in with your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. What do you think about this idea? Should, say, cities be able to set their own discrimination laws above and beyond what the state does, or should we have the same standard statewide? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And on a wider issue, where do you draw the line between local control on issues like employment, whether it's discrimination or minimum wage or work conditions? Should cities be able to set their own rules, or should there be statewide standards? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And as I understand in looking into this, Paul, a place like Madison, for example, which a lot of this is about, has its own enforcement procedures, right, to pursue cases of employment discrimination. What happens to that under this change?
Well, in fact, recent statistics show that Madison's local enforcement agency has heard something like 100 cases a year. So those cases would go to the Wisconsin Equal Rights Division, which is in the Department of Workforce Development, and put added stress on those individuals who have to do fact-finding and adjudication of those cases. Let me point out one other thing as your callers are calling in. There seems to be kind of a weird dynamic here in the sense that usually it's the Republicans who talk about states' rights and federalism and devolving the power of the federal government down to the state, and actually in education, even down to local boards of education. This seems to be almost anti-federalistic in the sense that we're taking away power from local governments to do what they think best with regard to protected classes in the workplace. And so it's kind of backwards from the normal players that you would see in these federalism-type debates.
And do you see a lot of laws like this passing here in Wisconsin, maybe even around the country, overriding local ordinances like this?
Oh, it's happening in almost every Republican-controlled state. I am aware recently that this occurred in Alabama. Again, a lot of this is occurring with minimum wage and with paid sick leave, where municipalities are passing laws that protect paid sick leave or raise the minimum wage, and states are passing standardization laws to take municipalities' ability away. So this occurring in Wisconsin with regard to employment discrimination, it probably is not surprising to hear that there is the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, behind these efforts. These are orchestrated for those states that have one-party control of the state legislature and the governor's seat.
Let's go to our callers now. We have Paul on the line in Janesville. Paul, hi. Paul, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here, but you got me at a bad moment. You can take the next caller and get me again.
Okay, Paul. thanks for calling in. We're queuing up the next caller as we speak. Do you think, Paul, that this is something that ends up becoming an election issue that people are watching and maybe voting based on?
You know, it's hard to say. I think that when we look at the national political scene and the statewide political scene, and again, this goes back to your last segment, it seems that people are getting awfully sick of all the polarization and poison that is in our politics now, and they might be getting sick of the party that Donald Trump represents. So this might just be another log to throw on the fire, but it would be surprising to me, even as someone who follows labor and employment law issues, if this would be something that would decide people's vote in either an upcoming state or federal election.
Let's go try our callers again. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Afternoon. I think this is just a power play, just like they've been doing for ever since they took over, the Republicans took over the governorship and both houses of the legislature. They're trying to take all the power away from local governments and put it in their hands, and so they could control what goes on throughout the state, and the locals have little or no say over it. It's like, you know, if you have bad roads, if you want to have a wheel tax, you know, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you raise taxes, even if it's voted in through some kind of a local referendum. So I'm hoping that this recent Senate win for Democrats is a sign that maybe the locals are starting to get tired of everything being run out of Madison. And even if they want to vote something in, they don't have that opportunity.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Do you think, Paul, that people, politicians or everyday people really operate thinking about local control as a principle?
I do, because I think it goes directly to how profitable corporations can be when they operate in the state. Consider that every time someone files a employment discrimination lawsuit, whether it be under local law, state law, or federal law, that takes money out of the corporate coffers. And as we know, this is a very business-friendly, Republican-controlled government. And by making it more difficult for people to challenge employment terminations and other types of adverse employment actions, I think it helps to make corporations more profitable for their officers and shareholders.
Thanks for the call. Go next to Jim on the line in Janesville. Jim, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling in opposition to this bill. It's just the governor trying to overreach and control everything. I think the blue wave is coming. We saw it up north, and it's coming. Not only Walker's going to be out, but Paul Ryan's on his way out, too.
Jim, thanks for the call. We're getting a little more into the politics here. But do you see pushback, Paul, from local governments on this in particular?
I do. I think that Madison is obviously going to be the most organized, and we heard from the director of the local employment discrimination agency how opposed that person is. We also heard from some Democratic state senators. I will point out something that's very interesting that your listeners, we just heard from someone from Janesville. Of course, that's Paul Ryan's district. Paul Ryan is being challenged by a number of people, but probably most prominently by Randy Bryce, Iron Stash, as he's known on Twitter. And isn't it interesting that labor-oriented individuals are the ones who are kind of taking on the current politicians, and also education? Remember, your first caller made clear that it's hard even for school districts to raise revenue right now because everything has been put back into Madison's control. And Tony Evers is leading the Democratic field right now, and he's the superintendent of education. So, you know, what did Tip O'Neill say, Rob? All politics is local.
And, Paul, as we wrap up, just briefly, do you see sometimes a law passes, it's challenged in the courts. Do you see any kind of local control challenge in the courts coming from cities?
Well, they certainly could try. That's going to be difficult, though, because most control is put into the state government. In other words, the state constitution provides the state legislature and the governor with the ability to pass laws, and usually it is only what has been delegated or not actually acted upon that the local or municipal governments have the ability to legislate separately in. So they can try to legally challenge it, but as we've seen with Act 10 and other laws that have been unpopular with major groups of individuals, legal challenges can be a very steep hill to be successful on.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That's Paul Secunda, professor of law and director of Marquette University's Labor and Employment Law Program, looking at a proposal in the state legislature overriding local control on labor.